Welcome. You know, I'm nervous. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm literally, I think I could puke. I mean, I'm scared, but you know, somebody always told me when you're speaking, put the imagine the audience.
Don't you do it.
Was like in their underwear. That's gross. I'm not looking at y'all like that. But no, God's been working with me as to be a better Christian, to help out more, to help out others. And that's why, what has it been? A couple months ago, I called Jordan and told him I would like to preach to you guys. And what I wanted to preach about was, why do bad things happen to good people? And, you know, I'll be honest with you, a lot of this stuff I wish I would have knew when I was your age. Don't get me wrong, I grew up in church, my youth pastor was a United States major in the Marine Corps. And he led me toward Christ, along with my aunt that was a preacher. But, you know, I've always wondered why. And all I was told as a kid, you don't ever ask why. You don't ever. Just go with it. Don't ever ask why. But sometimes, I mean, would you all like to know why?
Yes.
Why? The best thing I can come up with, and I'm going to credit some people. I listened to Greg Laurie. I listened to Alan Mabry for 20 years now, Jordan Wilson, and Daniel Sweet. And through them is where I've got a lot of this information and what I want to bring to you tonight. Why does a bad thing happen to good people? The number one thing I can tell you is there's no such thing as a good person.
Amen.
You can look at each and every one of you and tell each other you're bad. We're not good.
You're bad.
And we get that from Romans. I need somebody. Who wants to volunteer to read? Israel, did you raise your hand? Taylor? Trey, I told you, man, I'm nervous. Trace, can you read for us Romans 3, verses 10 through 18? Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this night and praying that, Lord, that you would be with over me and give me the strength to get through this, and pray that you'd be with each and every one that's here, that they would open their hearts and listen to the Lord, that they could take this all in, that whatever that I could say could just change one life. It's all worth it. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Romans 3:10. As it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one. And what I gather, what I get to that, that means right there that man is evil. We're going to break this down verse by verse. In 3:12, it says, 3:11 says, no one understands, no one seeks for God. This is where man is unable to comprehend the truth of God. 3:12, it says, all have turned aside together that they may have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Turned aside, we're all together, is leaned. They're leaned the wrong direction, going the wrong way. And once again, it says, no one does good. Man is evil. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is under their lips. And this is what kind of I struggle with. Their throat is an open grave. But when I broke it down, thanks to Wilson, I bought my wife a study Bible for Christmas and got that out and was reading through there. And when it says that their throat, does anybody have a clue what that means, their throat is an open grave? It will get you in trouble, but the way he describes it as an open grave, if you go out here to an open grave, what are you going to see? Dead body that's nasty, dirty, and decaying. And that's where he gets that. When he says that, when I read that, it makes sense, yeah. And that's what comes out of, you know, people's mouths.
Before they come to Christ, right?
Yes. Their mouth is full of curse and bitterness, which meaning that they want the worst for somebody else. Their feet are swift to shed blood, which I take is where they run to evil quickly. In their past are ruin and misery, meaning whatever man damages or whatever he touches destroys, he leaves a path of destruction. Nothing of what I have right here is my notes, a trail of pain and suffering. And the way of peace they have not known leans towards tendency towards strife and conflict. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You think of these verses when we read them out, you know, they're talking, what we just, the way I described that, they're talking about some really bad people. But the way Paul describes that, and he got a lot of this through Psalms that David had wrote, but it's describing us, each and every one of us. Why do bad things happen? We don't deserve for good things to happen, do we? As we read farther into Romans, you can go to Romans 23. And that verse right there says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Doesn't say some, like Wilson's always told us. It doesn't say some. It says all. Was that me or you two? We don't deserve good things. We are all fallen sinners. And we've learned, you can go home and tell everybody tonight what you learned at church was, I'm a bad person. That's what I learned here. That's what Aaron told me, I'm bad, which we probably, a lot of us probably knew that. But, you know, bad things are going to happen, but we got to look to overcome that. And it all started from back in when God made the world, he created Adam and Eve. And bad things started right there because of a bad choice. A bad choice because of our freedom. Adam and Eve had freedom. Our free will is where bad things could come from. They had a choice to make to eat from the tree of life or the tree of good and knowledge, and they chose wrong. And for that, the choice that they made is where the fall of man began, and it just keeps going down. Bad things happen because of our freedom of choice. But there is a way to turn that around by the grace of God. Because when we get to verse, one of my favorite verses, Romans 8, 28, who wants to read it?
We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God, all according to his purpose for them.
All things work together for the good to those who love the Lord and are called to his purpose. All things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who serve God. And that verse is built for the believer. If you're a non-believer, it probably doesn't mean nothing to you. If you're a non-believer, you hear that verse, what's it matter? Bad things just going to keep happening because you don't understand. And that's where I'm going to start. I'm going to tell you all a little bit about my life. I grew up in a church. I was saved when I was 16 years old. And, you know, my mom and dad took us to church every Sunday. You know, they say you had a choice. No, I didn't have a choice. I went. That's what we did. And but tonight, every one of you had a choice to come here. You did. Some of you didn't, like my two didn't. They were coming anyway. But a lot of things happened in 1991. I was 10th, 9th grade freshman. My grandmother was hit by a train. Killed right on the scene. Why? I didn't know. I mean, what'd she do? A few years later, graduated high school, go to college. In the first year of college, second year of college, come home and my dad gives me the news he's got cancer, which I didn't know why. But, you know, my dad was the way he was, the man of God. It hurt him, but it didn't affect him. You couldn't tell. The only reason you knew he had cancer because his hair was falling out or he was sick in the hospital. But he did not let it bother him. If he could get up and go do what he did, he wanted to. He battled it for 2 years. And 1997, March, he passed away. And it was a bad deal because I was in college. I was in Alva. I get a phone call from my mom. Hey, can you come to Salt Lake City? Sure, on my way. We made it about 2 hours and got a call and said, turn around and go home. So, I mean, we did. What do you do? I tell you what I did. I went, my brother, it was tough on him. He was 17, I was 20. Went back and picked him up, took him back to school. What are you going to do? We're going to sit out about it? Nope. We went and played baseball that evening. I'll never forget that game that he played. The guy can hit the ball, but I think every time he got up to plate, he hit, I think he went 3 for 3 with 3 home runs. Literally hit. I mean, where did it come from? I think the good Lord has something behind that, or helped him with the strength. But anyway, carry on. I'm not going to sit here and cry. Ball. 3 months later, I get married. Best decision I ever made in my life. And I'll be honest with you. You can ask that woman right there. 2 weeks, we'll be married 20 years. Probably the first year of our marriage was pretty tough because she can tell you for a fact this guy right here was mad at God. Any problems I had, you know, like the Bible tells you to leave, cleave, and become one. That probably took, 2 years? I didn't go to Amy with anything. And I should have, but like I say, that's where the good thing is. She went a couple of years to Free Will here. And I'd been over here with her a couple times, and 9-10 months after we got married, we moved back to Woodward and got put back in church, because that whole first year we weren't in church. And mad at the world, she might not have been, I was, because something got taken from me. A few years later, I get a phone call. Hey, I need you to get to Fairview Hospital. Your brother's in a wreck. We don't know if he's going to live. What? You know, he pulled through it. It was a flat miracle. The doctor told me, he said he's going to live, but he's the first person he's seen that's broke every rib in his body that survived. Literally, almost every rib. Here's the aorta on both sides. And, you know, he's here to talk about it today. And the guy, you know, I love him to death. He has his, I mean, he's a man of God. He has his way of believing, I have mine. We have a little bit of differences, not bad, no. But, I mean, we argue sometimes, but we both know we're here to serve the Lord. Shortly after that, my granddad passed away. Then after that, my grandmother's passed away. And then I'm back, you know, basically I'm here. I've had a good life, I'm not going to lie. My life's been great. But that's just my life of all the bad stuff that I thought was bad stuff. But like I said, 8:28, good things happen to those who love the Lord, serve the Lord. And the way he puts that to us, you know, because we think we're all bad. Everything's bad. If as long as you're serving the Lord, the Lord's going to keep throwing stuff at us. We're going to face trials. We're going to face death. And the way you get through it is what people are watching us. Is what. But somebody dies, you think it might be the end of the world. But people are watching us to deal with it, to see how, I mean, that's what we do. It's our faith, how we get through it. God's building up our faith by serving him so we can help somebody else in their time. And one of the biggest things that I've seen in this is a true man of God. And how this guy does it, beyond me. Do you all know Jane's son, stepson, Daniel Gaston? Y'all know Daniel. Some of you do, some of you don't. Daniel and Jessica. Their first child, I was there the night Addison was born. She was born still. I could not imagine. Not in a lifetime. If that happened to me, but you know what? Look at this guy. He's got more faith. He's right back in church. He does everything for God's glory. And that is our number one goal. Number one goal is to glorify God. And all that we do is to glorify him. And I wish I would have been told this when I was your age, because all I wanted to do is sit back. And it was probably the hardest when my dad passed away. Was why. I mean, I went to a bad place, you know. I didn't talk to people. And I'll admit, I was in college. I started partying and drinking. And it was a good thing for that woman right there. I'll admit it. Married her. And like I say, we struggled that first year. But once we got back to Woodward, we got in the church. And I'll put it with, you know, Alan Mabry, Daniel Sweet, Jordan Wilson. These guys have helped me grow in my faith a long ways just by listening to them week in and week out. But the things that happen don't always have to be bad. They're going to happen. But how we get through them is going to be how we can help others to get through the same thing that we've been through. Another example, y'all know, look at Dave Jameson. Guy walks around on one leg. I mean, wow. Kudos to him. I mean, it don't bother him. You didn't know it. He's not going to let you know it, and he's not going to. He'll try to do anything with the best of us. You probably, any of you kids, want to go out there and ask him to run a foot race. He might try to do it. I doubt it, but no. But, I mean, you don't know it. Everything he does is to glorify God. And everything you need to do is to glorify God. And back to my life story, what I was getting at, or I forgot, but I've known several people through my life as co-workers, that have died. When I was going to college, I worked through college, and I worked with two guys up there, older gentlemen, and somebody's wanting me. Anyway, at that time, I was in a rough period of my life, and one of the guys, you know, he had a lot of trials in his life. I don't blame myself, but he hung himself. I wish I could have done something. Could I have done something? Yeah. I could have. Shouldn't have been crying about my own problems and glorifying God, and maybe he would have seen that in me. What's people see in you when people when you got problems? They see you pouting. Well, I can't believe that. I'm done. Went to Sonic and it's already closed. I got problems. This is not right. But literally, everybody has problems. Not just me. Everybody here. Bad things happen because we're not good people. Bad things happen because of the choices we make. I'm a firm believer in the choices we make, whatever that outcome, whether it's good, if it's good, probably because you did the right thing. If it's bad, trust me, you're going to be coming along and smack. It's going to hit you. And you know what? You're going to know it too. Because if you follow the word and glorify God and everything, you slip up just a little bit, he's going to put something at you. And I kid you not. Satan is attacking every way today. I've been nervous as I'll get up. I've been working on this sermon for a month. I mean, listen to a lot of audio and video. I've been typing it up. Typed it a bunch up last night and typed some more up today after work. But no, I leave work. I printed it off. Got my stuff. Left work. Drive over here. Called my wife. Called Zora. Hey, coming. Be there about 4:30. Head over there. Good thing. I get about 15 miles out of Canadian. Seriously, I left it laying in the office. Like somebody is like, no, I'm not letting, I mean, I was frustrated. It was, no, I'm not letting get me down. I don't care what time we get there. I pulled over, turned around, went back here and got it. Guy pulled in there and asked me what I was doing. I said, well, I forgot a piece of paper. What is it? And I said, it's what I printed out earlier. I said, I'm going to preach to my youth group tonight. Really? I said, yeah. And I struggle with people I work with. You know, there's issues, there's conflict. And we sat there for 5-10 minutes and had a good talk. And it'll build our relationships. Because I'm glorifying God. I want to glorify God in everything I do. And you guys, like Romans 8:28 says, good things happen to those that love the Lord, that are called to his purpose. Thank you.
God works out all things for the good of those that love him and are called according to his good purpose. And we are not good people, right? Who lived a life that we live, who walked in human flesh, and yet was a good person? Jesus. How was he treated? Terribly. Probably worse than any of us have ever been treated, right? He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. And because of him, guys, he experienced, like an Aaron's talking about, we get this attitude sometimes, you know, going to Sonic and getting mad because it's closed or getting upset when things don't go our way. Jesus had every right to get upset, didn't he? But it says in the New Testament that no deceit was found on his lips, neither did he sin. It's okay, guys. He lived that perfect life. So you could be one of those people that although bad things can happen to you as a believer, you have the opportunity for God to work out those bad things to make them into good things. We may never in this life understand why God allowed something to happen to us until we get there. And that's a good point. I mean, think about what he was telling you about forgetting his paper at the office. How many of us would have gotten really, really peeved if we'd done something like that? And it got so mad and frustrated and angry. But what happened? How did God use that supposed bad thing? He was able to tell somebody at work. Did Aaron plan to go talk to that guy? Would you have said something to him? I mean, you were nervous. You were going to leave. Like, I got to get out of work. I got to go preach. I got to move on. And you wouldn't have even thought one thing about stopping to talk to him, right? But God said something different, right? Yeah. And that might seem like a really small example, but those small examples could get someone's eternal soul saved. And the small examples, the small details are important, aren't they? So the little things that get us down, why do we worry about them so much? Just see it in the light of eternity and just be like, Lord, you must be doing something here. I don't know what it is, but I guess I'll obey, right? Now, he gave some great examples of people in our church that have struggled and have had bad things happen to them, and they're glorifying God because of those things, and in spite of those things, what kind of impact, and I want you guys to think about this, look at me real quick, what kind of impact, just giving Aaron as an example, what kind of an impact did their decisions make on his life? Huge. What kind of an impact will your decisions make when you go through trials and do it for the glory of God? Gigantic, right? Think about this. Those people that he talked about tonight, Dave Jameson, Daniel Gaston, there are many others that have gone through horrible things in our church. They have no idea what influence they've had on other people. And they won't know until they get to heaven. Same with each and every one of you in this room right now. You have no idea what kind of influence you're having, good or bad, on people that are watching you. Are we going to glorify God? Are we going to seek his name through trials? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message tonight. Thank you for Brother Aaron, for his obedience to you, for his obedience to the word. I just ask God that you be with our group as we leave tonight, we go home and live our separate lives, and pray that we'd still live for a common faith and for a common purpose, God, that is to glorify your name, to love Jesus, to love his name, to love the word and everything that comes with that through suffering, through trial. We just thank you for the opportunity to even have a relationship with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.